and welcome to My Xbox and Me, episode 461. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Mr. Paul Despawn.
Hello.
What's not tired. Lacking? How are you?
You're not tired.
You look tired, mate. You look tired.
I'm a fight.
You look excited today, mate. Look
I'm excited. Yeah. No, I'm just tired.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And of course, the one and only Mr. Too Fresh Crash himself. Hello. No. Forget what you got to say. I don't care how you do it. I didn't even ask how you do it.
I know. I was expecting you to. I jumped the gun and I fucked up.
I wanted to say, boys, we did it. We did the 12-hour stream. We did it. It's completed. It happened. We raised a bunch of money for the channel. And not only that, we had a great, fantastic time. If you haven't watched the 12-hour stream, I'm not saying you need to watch all of it. You can check the My Xbox and Me Discord. There are so many clips. Big shout out to the mod team, especially Trix, who did a fantastic job in clipping everything out for us. But if you do want to go watch it, it's over on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/myxboxandme. You can see a bunch of shenanigans. Should we talk about Bean Boozles?
Do we have to?
Honestly.
They were Fix's favorite part. Fix loved the Bean Boozles. Right. They were his favorite part. Fix, yesterday I was talking to Fix. We were doing the live reaction, whatever. Mm. And after the words, me and Fix talked for a little bit. And all Fix was saying is like, I really love the Bean Boozle. I think whenever we do the podcast, we started off with the Bean Boozle to like start things off spicy.
I'll be honest with you. I will never do it again. Unless I'm doing it for a full fit again. It was the worst thing ever.
It was disgusting.
Ever.
You won one.
I can't believe how bad it was. What?
Worse than the lemon?
I said you won one.
Chris, what are you doing? There's no winning.
There's a 50-50. Everyone you eat there is a 50-50. You absolutely can win. Matt won most of his.
Yeah, I guess you don't win. You survive.
Yeah.
I don't know. You talk to Matt. Matt was happy.
Yeah, but Matt liked the old socks thing, which is weird. He was like, it's not that bad.
That's true.
It's not that bad. Don't watch the clips.
Yeah, go watch the clips if you haven't already. Honestly, we did a great job. Thank you, everyone who came over. Big thank you to, there's been a lot of people who have reached out privately who were like, hey, I don't know where to support you guys the best. I don't know what I want to do. I've had people that have dropped donations on the, obviously we've got a PayPal donation, which is in the description of like everything that we do. There was also people who had dropped subs after the Subathon being like, hey, I didn't get to watch live, but wanted to still support and drop subs. So I just want to say a big thank you to absolutely everybody who showed support and love, and we do appreciate all of you. So thank you so much. And we always say you can show your support over on patreon.com/mcfixer. Honestly, a lot of you have done that. A lot of you have subbed. A lot of you have supported. So we do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can find us on all podcast services. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel and make sure you drop a follow over on the Twitch channel as well. I will be back going live on Wednesdays. I don't know about the rest of the boys, so I'm not going to hold them to anything, but I will be
Thursday.
Back. Yeah, whatever. I'm just sad. I'll be back. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon producers, Laurel.
What?
The one and only Mr. Erengard. And Sam, I know you must be a listener of the show. Okay, Sam, I need a little bit more context here. So if you can hit us up, Discord, Twitter, Instagram, I don't care where it is. I saw that you became a Patreon producer. Was it a mistake? Do you need me to refund you? Let me know on what's going on. If you did it by mistake, let me know. I can sort it out. But for now, you have become a Patreon producer for the month. We do appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for keeping the lights on. And yeah, man, we do appreciate both you, Erengard and Sam. Thank you. Topic of the show this week, boys. We have got the Xbox Showcase date has been announced literally just before we went live. Xbox tweeted this out. We're going to be talking about games, of course. Tune in to the Xbox Showcase, followed by Redacted Direct on Sunday, June 9th at 10 a.m. PT. Hashtag Xbox Showcase. Boys. There's not much to go off of here, to be honest with you. A little bit more to speculate on, though, due to the React. So for people who haven't seen the image, it's the normal Xbox Showcase image that you're probably used to seeing. And usually they do it with like a cross with Bethesda is usually how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. For the last 2 years, I think it's been that. Obviously, last time the extended was Starfield, where this one is redacted. There's a lot of talk going on out there about what this could be. So for people who haven't seen the image, it is a image of three wolves. The title of the game is crossed out in a black marker. The subtitle underneath the three wolves' heads, and that is the what building is that, Crash? That's an American thing. Help me out here. Where does your president stay?
The White House.
Thank you. God damn it. It's the picture of the White House. It looks like it's on money of some sort. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then all you see is direct, immediately following Xbox Game Showcase. Branding is kind of orangey. It looks, if I wasn't using my brain and thinking about this in too much detail, just by going off looking, you'd be like, oh, it's a new Division game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. It's that kind of coloring for a new Division game.
Yeah.
But boys, what do you think this is? We'll start with you, Crash. What's your head saying?
My head says Call of Duty, right? It looks like Call of Duty.
Does it blacked out look?
Black Ops. You're talking about the coloring scheme. Black Ops.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Black Ops 2 and 3 both use the orange coloring scheme.
Yep.
I think it very much so looks like that. Maybe it's a brand new, something new or something different. Who knows? But I'd assume, I think it would be a safe assumption to say that it's Call of Duty and they're going to do the direct after, especially they just got Activision. This is going to be a big E3 for them. Have the one of the biggest franchises in the world, if not the biggest franchise in the world, have a direct for them following your showcase.
Yeah, it's around the time for like COD news to drop about now, isn't it? Because usually they drop it around now, and then you get a couple of months of build up to the October-ish release.
Well, Keely usually doesn't he? He usually gets COD. Mm. He usually gets something for COD at the Summer Games Fest.
Yeah.
Interesting. This obviously to be expected, Despawn, right? Like, they're going to do something big. This is the first year they're able to actually own Call of Duty and put their branding on it and all that good stuff that comes with Call of Duty. If this is Call of Duty, which safe assumptions it is, considering you can kind of see the in the bottom, the very last line of any text in this image is crossed out, and you can kind of see the A from Activision. Pretty much spaces out perfectly for Activision. I kind of like that they've done this, though, if I'm being totally honest. I think whether or not we know it or not, who cares? Right, like, who cares if we know it or not? It's still a fun thing for us to speculate on. We don't know what is that. They could have easily been like, in this image, this is Call of Duty, blah blah blah. Find out more June 9th, and they haven't done that, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, this is why it kind of leads me into thinking it might actually be a Black Ops one, because that's very much about the clandestine side of like the Call of Duty series and like, you know, redacting information and things like that. Leans into that really well. I'm hyped for this. Like, Call of Duty, even the worst Call of Duty is still a fun time for a few hours. And like, the fact that this is the first time that Xbox can finally put their power behind it and be like, this is our Call of Duty. If this lands properly, ooh, it's gonna be a good time, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably Xbox's most important showcase in the last 5 years, if I'm being totally honest.
I'd agree.
You've got to think. You've got now Bethesda games to show off. You've got, obviously, Xbox first-party titles, other than what they've bought in from Bethesda, Activision, and things like that. So now this is very, very, very important. They need to land. Activision, Blizzard, Bethesda, Xbox Game Studios. There is so much to fit into this showcase, and there is so much that people have been waiting to see more of certain titles. Fable, for instance, Avowed, for instance, what's Rare's game that I'm forgetting the name of?
Something with an E.
What's it called? We're the worst.
Everwild. There's so much that we're expecting. I'm not saying we're going to get to see all of that, but there's so much that we're expecting. And to go along with like a new Call of Duty to be shown afterwards in a deep dive, I'm actually for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think you raised up a good point. Like, this is like the first time in like 5 years that they've got everything in line and ready to go. Because it's always been a case of, well, they were agreeing the Bethesda thing, then they were showing off Bethesda stuff, then they announced the Activision stuff and they had to work through that. Now it feels like, all right, we've got Activision, we've got Blizzard, we've got, you know, we've got Bethesda now in fully ingrained their work. Like, because this isn't an no longer an Xbox Bethesda showcase. This is Xbox showcase with the next game in a big series, it feels like.
I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, is that they dropped the Bethesda showcase. They didn't transition into Activision, Blizzard, whatever the case is. It is just an Xbox showcase. Yeah. I think that to me is like the biggest statement they can make, is like, regardless what we do going forward, this is all Xbox, whether you like what we do with it, whether you like where the games go, whatever the case is, this is Xbox, just kind of deal with it. Not they say it in that sort of way, but that's the way I sort of take the titling.
No, I definitely saw a picture of Phil Spencer with the deal with it glasses on, just like flipping the birds. It's exciting though, right? Like, as an Xbox gamer, like, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Not just the whole, like, here, announce all these games, but it's like, finally, all of these acquisitions and all of the court drama that they went through to get to this point, we finally feel like we're ready for them to be like, okay, this is what it was all for. Whether it is, we'll see. But like I said, I thought they had a really strong showing last year when there was like stuff like Fable and State of Decay they were teasing and stuff like that. And like the early ideas of what's coming
State
up.
State of Decay didn't get mentioned last year.
Not was it last year? It was the year before, wasn't it? Sorry, my apologies.
State of Decay hasn't been announced since the series announcement.
Really?
That was the last time we saw State of Decay.
Yeah,
oh my god! Is it just my hoping for it every year? Then maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Oh man, I need.
There was a State
so
of Decay 2 update they did at one of them, I think, or something. It wasn't the E3. It wasn't their E3 showcase. E3. It was one of the showcases that they did show State of Decay there. That might be what you're thinking of.
Maybe. I just want more State of Decay in my life, please.
That's fair.
My question to you guys is: what's the one game they have to show at this showcase to make you happy?
Mine's is easy. Mine's not getting shown.
Take away memeing and stuff like that, like of like popular franchises and things like that. I shouldn't even have to caveat that, Crash. Like generally, of things that are relevant.
But it's relevant to me.
Okay.
No, I get what you're saying, but it's right, like everything you're saying doesn't dissuade my answer. Crash, I get what you're saying. I'll give you the answer you want. I'm trying to tee you up for a good clip here, Crash.
I'm trying. Come on, help me out here.
You know what? Yeah. Re-tee it up.
No, we don't need. We don't. Okay,
no,
sure.
No.
All right, give me a second. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
And that's what I think.
See, I can't do it. I can't. I'm not a re-tier. I'm not a
re-tier.
You ruined it. I got you. Okay, go on this one.
So, Crash, what is the one game that you are excited to see at this
No one cares what Crash has to say on this podcast.
That is true.
Craps what he says. Me, on the other hand, I have to see Gears of War. Gears of War has to be shown at this showcase. It has been 4 years since we last seen Gears. Mm-hmm. In any way, shape, or form. And I don't want just a CGI trailer, which is exactly what we're going to get. But I don't want that. I want them to come out with like CGI trailer and then, hey guys, would you like to see some Gears? Mm-hmm. Yeah! Boom, then we see Gears.
I think you could get a trailer where there's bits of gameplay in it.
No chance. I think you're going to get a whole JD and Dell, slow motion, blah, 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 blah. Kate, like looking at both of them. They're not even going to tell us what the current
canon is,
how it's going to move forward. That's going to be all built up. And then,
PS5, 6. What are we classifying as a CGI trailer, right? Because what if they come out, they do the CGI. Whole. No, I get what you're saying, but they do everything you're saying, but it's all in game and it's all actually like in engine and it's part of the game. This cutscene you'll see in the game, all that stuff. Do you count that as a CGI trailer? So
no, that's in game. That's in engine.
An engine. Yeah. So
you don't think they do that?
Oh, I can see them doing that.
I can see them do that.
Well, I think they will do that, but yeah.
Got it.
What I would 100% love them to do, and I think it'd be the best way to do it, would be cold open. Straight into gameplay, show us like a spooky horror section within that game. Like I think they did it with Gears 5 in that opening area where you start getting hit with all the wind tornadoes.
They did it for Gears 4.
Gears 4, that was it. Yeah, do that. And then at the end of that sequence, hit us with the CG trailer. And a year, just say 2025. That's what I want. That's what I want them to do. I want that to be the one last thing. Like, Gears is back. And
Gears
it's back
is big enough
way.
For a one last thing, which is nice. It either opens or closes the show.
For an Xbox showcase, if they're not going to do the you know, the Call of Duty trailer, now keep watching for this.
No. That'll be... I think they show Call of Duty trailer in this showcase, then you'll get to see more at the end of today's showcase.
I think they start with the Call of Duty and then it's like come back for at the end of the showcase to try and keep people to come back in or tune in towards the end again for whatever big ending they'll have to like get eyes back into it.
That would actually be dope. Ends with Gears. So then you have enough people come who have come back to watch the Call of Duty thing. They're like, hey, we know you like shooters. maybe you'll check this one out. Maybe you'll check this one out. We know you won't, but maybe you will.
You never know. Chainsaw Lancers. Woo.
Woo. Okay, Crash. If you had to pick one to see at this showcase, what would it be?
Gears of War is up there. Obviously, non-meme-wise, Killer Instinct, but we're not going to talk about Killer Instinct. I want more Fable, if I'm going to be honest. I would love more Fable. I don't think there's a shot we really see more Fable this year. Maybe. Even if they have stuff like this, this year is going to be so packed with Xbox doing stuff outside of just Fable with Activision and Bethesda that they can hold off Fable for right now and show stuff that's more immediately coming. Cause I don't think Fable's still that close.
No.
As much as I want it, I don't really see it happening too much.
We got the year from Fable already, didn't we? Did they say 2025?
No. Question mark?
I'm checking it right now. I don't think we got that.
But like, I don't think so.
No. Release date or a loose window, nothing. We got nothing.
You just make up stuff, don't you?
I do. Because, you know, content. Because then you can fact check it and keep call me wrong, and it's great.
Of course. I think the other thing I think we're going to see a lot of is Avowed. I think Avowed is going to be shown very... We already saw a lot of it, but it didn't really blow people away with its gameplay. I think they're going to really go with like a, oh, okay. Now this they show. What, now, because we saw at the last showcase... And I think we was all in agreement of like, oh, it looks good. It doesn't look bad in any way, shape, or form. But the combat didn't look amazing. I think this trailer will be like, okay, the people need to see the combat, the combat, and what we're actually doing. And we know they're going to tell a good story. We know that the RPG elements are going to be there. Like, they're a great studio for that. But can you now gameplay? And I think that's what they're going to focus on a lot at this showcase.
So this is the thing. Did you ever go back and watch that extended gameplay trailer? So they actually showed off a lot more, and it actually looks quite like very interesting what they're trying to do. But I think it's like you say, the showing at the main showcase just wasn't as good. It was very, like you say, it was very fast. They're trying to get through everything, and that makes sense. But yeah, the deep dive showed a lot more and a lot more focus on like some stealth elements and how you combine all of your magic and things like that and different routes you can take. And it actually looks really cool. And I'm very excited for Avowed after seeing that more than I was what we saw in the initial showcase.
I think for me with Avowed, I would really love for it to be like 40 or 50 seconds of Avowed. It doesn't have to be a very long time of just a gameplay segment of just dope shit happening on the screen. Like, I don't need like this big, like, here's what we're doing. We have these spells. I don't need no talking over it. Just give me a clean view of the gameplay and what moment to moment gameplay can look like to really pull people in for it.
Yeah. Show me freezing an ogre and then hit it with a lightning bolt and smashing it apart with double axes and all that kind of stuff. That on its own is cool. Just give me that. Yeah. I'm down for that.
Yeah. I'm just really excited. Like, really, really, really excited for what they have to show. And it's very close. I've kind of forgot about it because E3 is now dead, technically. But you got, obviously, this on the 9th, Ubisoft on the 10th, confirmed. So now we're just waiting for PlayStation to come out with their date as well, when they're going to be doing something.
Yep. When's Gamescom opening night live is August the 24th, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's not the same month. I'm talking about
that's what I mean. But
PlayStation are going to come with the same month, I'm hoping. Yeah,
so am I. But like, wasn't that around the time that, you know, didn't it used to always be around the same week?
Not Gamescom.
No,
Gamescom was never A3 time. It was always later.
E3 and then Gamescom. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be a summer. Surely Jeff Keighley is going to do a summer game fest, right?
Jeff Keighley, but isn't IGN doing something this year as well?
Oh, IGN Live?
Yes, IGN Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another thing we have this year. It should be an entertaining like E3 season minus E3.
Yeah. I am for anyone else out there who does what we do, where we try and follow on and react to everything, I am so glad that most of these are dropping around the same weekend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping they can pick Thursday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Or when there's, I think UB might be Monday, actually.
UB's Monday.
Yeah, so that Thursday to Monday, I'm good with that. So you can have everything from, give me the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, maybe the 11th. I'll take all that. Like, give me that bulk of like when you want to drop things. They probably won't. I think companies have learned not to follow each other. I think Xbox are not scared of Ubisoft, let's be totally honest. And then especially now that they have Call of Duty and things like that. I wonder if that's why they've done COD separately, though, where they're like, okay, we now don't want to cannibalize Gears or Everwild or whatever else. We put in the showcase, like, because we know Call of Duty is going to just like command people's news feeds, IGNs and people like that. They're going to be writing about COD because it drives numbers.
I think
it's that Call of Duty will do that regardless. I don't think there's a separation with it, with them doing the direct afterwards.
It makes sense for them to separate it out from the main show. Like, I think, as you said earlier, like putting it as a quick teaser trailer and then the main part being the main show makes sense. Because as we said before, Call of Duty being the behemoth that it is, like, you want that to be its own separate thing. It makes total sense to do that to them. And I don't think it's a case of doing it to move it away from other things, to let other things breathe and have their own space. I think it is just because it is that big, it makes total sense to separate it.
Do you think this is a we just got Activision move and we want to do this for this year? Or do you think that going forward they'll pick Call of Duty every year, or it'll be a different game depending on what they want to show year after year?
I think that'll be a different game. I think COD will have its own thing. Always. Like, it will always have its own event type thing, but this year I think it's a case of like, hey, we own Call of Duty. Like, yes, it's coming to PlayStation, but just remember it's going to be on Game Pass, and we own it. So let's use that to the best of our ability. And yeah, I'm really in. I'm like, bro, honestly, how many times have I said on this podcast? I go to the cinema and it's like PlayStation, 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 PlayStation. Like, now, are Xbox finally going to be in the conversation because they've got COD? There's no way they're ever going to put out a trailer where it's like not Xbox at the end of it, right?
Oh, 100%. It's going to do the thing that they always do, where it's just like it fades to black, Xbox logo.
I could see a spicy thing where they do have the PlayStation at the end, but they started off with the Xbox logo and Microsoft, whatever, in the
I'm not saying it won't have the logo. I'm saying like when you go to the cinema and they do the new trailer, and like, you know, usually it's like, please be Xbox on PlayStation. Like, you know, like, Xbox is going to have to come up with their version of that now, right?
Yeah, the best place to play Call of Duty. Also, in Game Pass.
I think that's what it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
In Game Pass, it'll be available day one on Game Pass.
That's the thing. Do you think it will be?
Yes.
Call of Duty?
Yes.
More than likely, yeah. I would say that it's 50-50. What makes you like so hesitant?
Because the amount of money it makes, I think there'll be enough people out there.
It's going to.
Yeah.
It's going to. On PlayStation.
Yeah, true.
But like, if you think about it from Xbox's point of view, like, it makes a lot of money. I think there's a possibility that it's on console Game Pass, but not PC Game Pass.
Nah, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
They won't. You could definitely be right. But I think all you're doing is antagonizing PC gamers for no reason.
I agree. I do think it'll be everywhere as well.
For no reason. So let me get this straight. You want me to pay for Game Pass Ultimate, but you only give me the titles that you've made the game for? No, yeah. Come on, stop it. Like,
you know,
they made a commitment years ago of like, we're putting games day and day on both, blah, 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 blah. You can't now, because you've got Call of Duty, be like, oh, we know we can extrapolate $70 from you guys, so, or £70, £60 from you guys. I just don't see it. I think they're banking on the fact that PlayStation are in number one position right now. Casuals love PlayStation. No problem. Keep loving your PlayStation. Xbox are going to get their whatever the cut is, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, we don't know what happens behind the scenes. I'm sure the conversation's pretty different when it comes to Call of Duty. Because when you can pull that something also, away from your whole ecosystem, like, you're going to be like, hey, let's negotiate. Like, you usually pay 30, but we usually give, you usually get 30% on software. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give you 30%. Like, you don't know what the conversation, I'm not saying that is the conversation.
But
you don't know what those conversations are anymore.
I think even that aside, Call of Duty just makes so much money off of microtransactions and people buying skins and stuff like that, that for them it's like, yeah, we'll put it on Game Pass, but even if a third or 1/20th, 1/10th of the people that buy, that get the game through Game Pass end up buying skins and end up buying stuff like that, they're probably like, we can recoup a good portion of whatever that cost would be, I'd imagine. On top of like everybody buying microtransactions on PlayStation that are already buying the game and whatnot.
And then the DLC drops, or if they do like a story expansion and people buy that and Yeah, I think we're in an interesting time for Xbox. We're in a very, very interesting time.
As I said, an exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to expect we'll see more Indiana Jones. That looked like it was pretty far along in development, further than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
And the terrible name, yep.
Yeah, not my favorite name, let's be totally honest. I think you'll see Starfield.
Yes.
Shattered Space. Or whatever the DLC, Shattered Space.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see the kind of funny interview. Yeah. So the tease, the Creation Club is on its way. It's out in the public. Well, not in the public. It's out in the wild with select creators already. And there's some updates coming to the game that are not part of the Shattered Space DLC. But then the DLC is scheduled for around fall. So it would make total sense for it to show up.
100% going to see that at the showcase then.
Mm-hmm.
Which, cool. I don't think it'll get me back because the menu systems won't have changed. But but either way, you know, it is what it is. Anything we're missing? We'll do a whole predictions episode, obviously, and a bunch of other stuff closer to June 9th. Which honestly, just say it like it's far away. It's really not. we're literally in May now, so crazy. And it's the beginning of June as well. So, yeah, man. I really hope we see State of Decay.
It would be. It's time to see that game, I feel like. But then again, it's also time to see fucking Everwild. There's a lot of games where it's time.
Yeah.
Again, ever since
we've seen Everwild. Yeah, we've seen Everwild.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years
ago. Last time we saw Everwild wasn't that the same time as State of Decay. We haven't seen it since.
No, we've seen it since.
Yeah. And that got revealed before. Have we?
Yes.
I don't think we have. I thought, because the news or the rumors were that it went back to the drawing board and got rebooted pretty much.
Yeah. That's what I thought, but I might be wrong about that.
I'm trying to look right now. 4 years ago, and then they showed it again. We've seen it since.
Okay.
Yeah. Then they showed it again in the July showcase.
Right.
I am right. And no, I knew they showed, because they showed it again and was like, "What the fuck is this still?"
Yeah. That sounds
about right. We still didn't know where it was. I'm almost, correct me if I'm wrong, feel free to email in or Discord, message us or whatever. But I'm almost certain that is the case. Yeah, all good news though. All good news, very exciting. Cannot wait for this Xbox game showcase to happen in June. So keep it locked. We'll be doing a reaction stream, of course, and a bunch of content around it. Well, we're going to have a meeting before E3, obviously, and figure out what we want to do with our coverage, so could be cool. Ultimate Crash, I feel like you got something.
I was just going to say that they were both shown in July. Everwild and State of Decay in the July showcase.
There you go. Oh, okay. So I'm...
4 years ago.
So then... Okay. Cool. All right, moving on. Where are we? This week's dashboard. Here we go. New Gears of War is getting announced in June, apparently, according to JD's voice actor, Liam McIngram. I said that right?
McIntyre.
How do I say that so wrong? McIntyre? Merck? Yeah, I look at Mick.
I think that's how it's pronounced, but I could McIntyre, be
I think you're right. The voice actor for JD Phoenix from Gears of War series has posted on X/Twitter, implying the development developers of the flagship franchise could be announcing a new game in June. The last mainline Gears game was obviously showed was obviously released in 2020, and no, sorry, the Tactics was released in 2020. Gears 5 released in 2019, and yeah, I mean, this I saw this. I'd kind of it's one of those ones where it's like, shut up.
Yeah,
like I hate to be that guy. Like I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, Mr. McIntyre. But
shut up.
Let the developers do what they do, and you know, just relax. Yeah. Again, he could easily just be hypothesizing as well. He might not know anything. I've been in situations. Again, I know nothing about what's happening at the Ubi showcase. I've been in that office many a time, you know? So it's one of those ones.
The problem is this is a massive lose-lose in that situation then, because either A, he's mentioned it's probably going to show up in June and it's not and everyone's disappointed, or B, it shows up in June and everyone knew it was going to show up anyway and so that doesn't really land as well. At least it's going to land. It's new Gears. Like, we're all going to be excited, but it's just like, oh, we know it's coming now. It's just like, we don't get that hype moment of like, holy crap, new Gears. Where the hell has this been?
Nah, I think we still do. I just don't get it. Like, let the developers have their moment.
Yeah.
Like it's not for you to make this announcement. It's for them. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Next up, BlizzCon 2024. Cancelled. This comes from the BlizzCon website. After careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision to not hold BlizzCon 2024. This decision was not made lightly, as BlizzCon remains a very special event for all of us, and we know many of you look forward to it. While we're approaching this year differently, and as we have explored different event formats in the past, rest assured that we are just as excited as ever to bring BlizzCon back in future years. Over the next few months, we'll be sharing more details about our launches coming later this year, including World of Warcraft, The War Within, and Diablo 4's first expansion, Vessels of Hatred. Crash,
yeah.
you're a big Blizzard guy, really. If I think about it, I remember when you were super into World of Warcraft for a while.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you enjoyed Diablo, obviously. Yeah. Didn't quite plan out how you wanted it to with its DLCs and stuff, but an endgame. What'd you make of this?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I don't think this is the first year that Blizzard's missed, like canceled a show for the year. I think they've done it for BlizzCon before. But I think the important thing this year for me is the possibility that they canceled BlizzCon, and this is me putting on a tinfoil hat, to have Blizzard stuff appear at the Xbox showcase.
Yeah.
And sort of like a united front. I could see World of Warcraft showing there, even if it's not going to be on Xbox traditional the way we know it to be. Yeah, it's an Xbox like, property now. Yeah.
I think that's what they're going for, right? They're going for that. Realistically, no disrespect to AA or AAA or indie games, right? In any way, shape, or form, but Xbox have enough shit to show at this showcase where it can be a case of wow, 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 every single trailer. Like you just said, right? Like Diablo's expansion could show up. World of Warcraft showing up at the Xbox showcase.
It's huge.
As just a moment like that is wild, right? Like, and I think they'll still do it won't be BlizzCon, but they'll do a deep dive thing somewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think Xbox, like we were saying, this is the most important showcase in the last 5 years. And I think this is why. It's like, we own these games. We own these IPs, and we want them to show up at our showcase when we have the most eyes. And I think it's gonna, I think it's really gonna set the tone now for what Xbox is. Like, obviously, I went to XO19, right? We Xbox can, they don't need to be called BlizzCon anymore. I'm not saying it won't be, but
yeah,
they can have an Xbox showcase, like an Xbox event where BlizzCon is involved in it, and it has its section along with, you know, whatever else is shown. It's really interesting. It really is.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm most interested to see is how Xbox conveys like a possibility of World of Warcraft being there, and if it really is Xbox pushing the message of like, hey, we're not just the console, our platform's bigger than just the console anymore, which is what they've been in, like, inching towards for so long with they're an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I think having World of Warcraft there and having achievements, even if it's just achievements popping in World of Warcraft that tie into your Xbox account or whatever, that's huge. Like, you don't tie, like, you don't get a subscription with the Game Pass. Maybe you get like a month off or something like that, or a free month with the Game Pass or something like that. But you won't get the subscription tied to Game Pass or anything, but just tying it with achievements, I think.
Do you know what I think they'll do? They'll do the whole base game being free. Cause you know, like right now the base game's technically free, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they get it with Game Pass.
So, in Game Pass, you can now launch World of Warcraft, so they can have it on that home screen. Got and it. Then it, the first, what is it, first 50 levels, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. They changed like their leveling system, and they've changed like what's in it or whatever. But yeah.
Burning Crusade, maybe.
Whatever it is, I think they'll pitch that as like free on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. That way,
yeah.
And then it'll be a case of like, obviously, to continue playing, it's $9.99. Like,
yeah,
cool. If they can get that to work, it's going to be huge, huge. Yeah.
I could definitely see them giving a discount for Game Pass subscribers. I'd be like, yeah, the normal one is $10.99. If you're a Game Pass subscriber and you link your account, it's $8.99 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you get a discount. Perk systems, they've got that in Xbox already. You know, here's a branded mount.
With stuff like that, I think you'll definitely get something from Xbox going across like that. Mm-hmm. It might not be like even an Xbox related thing. It might be like something like super in game, but it'll be like, this is, you only get this through Game Pass or whatever the case is.
So you don't want a Halo Warthog mount, is what you're telling me.
No,
I don't care for Halo. No.
Okay. Fine.
No, I don't want that personally. Yeah. I don't want that.
But no. Just to what you guys have been talking about, because I've been listening in while you're chatting to each other. But it is very much like this is. It definitely feels like this is the year where they integrate all this into the Xbox showcase, because, like you say, it is 100% that point where this is the time to fire on all cylinders. And while you've got it, like, granted, I know, like, BlizzCon, it isn't just their, like, you know, their announcement window. It is like, there is an in-person event that is linked to it with cosplayers and all that kind of stuff. So it is sad for those people that are interested in that kind of stuff. They're going to miss out on this. But hopefully, like we said, this is just a year off, and they come back bigger and stronger next year when they don't need to worry about hitting that massive hit with the showcase as much.
No, I do agree. Like I say, we'll see where everything lies in a couple of years' time. But I think right now it's all focused on, we are an ecosystem. Let's show the world that we're this ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Next up, IDEA Xbox Showcase. It happened yesterday as of recording, which would have been the 29th of April. Me and Crash watched it. We reacted to it over on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/myxboxandme. You can watch our reaction right now. Crash, I thought we would just go, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, because I don't think, again, if you don't have context to what we're saying, you're just hearing a bunch of game titles. I thought maybe we could talk about the ones that did interest us. These ones, I know you've seen it as well.
Yep.
So we could pick out a couple of our favorites that were shown. I would like to start, if possible. Probably the biggest thing that got shown here that I will 100% play no matter what is Jackbox Naughty Pack, which is obviously Jackbox's new, I don't know if they're calling it a game or if it's an expansion or what it is right now. I assume it's a separate game because they're all different packs. They're all different party packs, right? Mm-hmm. This is their adult themed party pack. Obviously, I saw a little bit of backlash to this in a way. I saw a few people being like, isn't half the fun though making the crude jokes in Jackbox when it's not adult themed? And I think yes, but I think if they've done a really good fun party pack with it being adult themed, I think it could be even better, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, it's like Jackbox is fun, and like you said, part of that fun is by making it crude jokes, and I'm not going to say any of the words that I usually put in my answers here, but yeah, like, but the fact that they're like, they're kind of playing up to that now, like they know that people do it, it's like, we get it, we've seen it, we know this is kind of the kind of like vibe that you're going for with these games sometimes, so like, we're just going to like cater to that, like, it makes total sense. From what I understand, there's like, I think they're talking, there's three games as part of this pack. So it's not like one of the full like four or five pack games. But still, like, I'm excited. I'm interested to see what they come out with.
Yeah.
And if it's allowed to be played on Twitch and YouTube.
Even if it's not, though, I like my family and I love to play these games. And we've done Discord like game nights where we've done it. I did the one where we did a Jackbox Party Pack in RP, and we played as our characters, which was really cool to try and figure out. Like, there's lots of different fun things you can do with Jackbox Party Pack, and this is probably the number one thing here that got announced. I was like, yes, 100% going to play that. Cannot wait to check that out. So, yeah, Crash, what about you? What's one thing that you are definitely looking forward to checking out?
I'm going to do a game that was shown here. It was the opening of the showcase, actually. It is Aster Blade, Blade of the Monolith. I think that game looked pretty cool. I thought it was a really decent way to open up the showcase. It got me interested, and I think it set the tone pretty properly for me for the showcase. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of that and just seeing more of what the game is about, really.
So, yeah, for people who don't know what this is the C2 Game Studios coming to, I think it's coming to all platforms, PS5, Xbox series, consoles. It's like a fighting action adventure role-playing game sort of thing, published by Tiny Build. Yeah, it looks really good. It looks really, really good. Looking forward to this coming to Xbox. You're right, it set the tone appropriately for what to expect for the rest of the showcase. If I had to compare it to something, I don't really know what I would, to be honest with you.
So for me, because I was like just finishing up work, because that was part of the pre-show mainly, it gave me kind of like Fable 2 combat vibes with a bit of Immortals Fenyx Rising as well. Yes.
Yeah, in a way, like,
which are both good to me.
A lot bigger monsters and stuff like that in this game. But yeah, I agree with you. Definitely the Fable 2 combat. I actually do agree with you on that. I hope it's more in depth than that. But what they showed, I think that's a very fair assessment of what they showed. But yeah, look good. It did look good. It did look good. Decimal, you got one that pops out right now that you 100% need to talk about.
There's one that I actually played the demo of after we watched the showcase. I thought I'll just download the demo, and then I jumped into it for what I thought was going to be 10 minutes, and I spent like an hour and a half in the demo. It was Sulfur. So this was the very like cutesy art style, but you're basically shooting goblins and eviscerating them. It's basically a full-on roguelike in first person. So you are basically a pastor that goes into a cave system in search of a witch who's just burnt your church. And you are then fighting through goblins and these little minions. And it's that whole thing of like, try and get as far as you can and save as much gold as you can, then escape and come back and try and see how far you can get into the cave system. It looks like it's all procedurally generated as well, which is cool. The combat is very basic, but very fun. So you basically can get a sword and a weapon. The sword is your melee weapon, and then you get like a ranged weapon as well, which will be either a pistol, a shotgun, a little old school Uzi, that kind of thing. It's actually a ton of fun. Like I said,
this is the one that looked like Doom, right?
Yeah, yes. So it basically looked like Doom, but with a bit more of a fun art style to it. I loved it. I've had I've spent, like you say, a good hour or so playing through the demo, and I'm probably going to go back and play it again because there's quite a lot to the demo. There's like six stages, which I still haven't got through them all. So, yeah, there's a hefty bit of a demo there to play through.
Yeah. I think it's one of those ones I'd play for about 10 minutes and be like, oh, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's for me. Yeah. For me, that's where it comes at. I'm not a big fan of the art style, I'll be honest.
For me,
it's one of those ones.
For me, looking at that game, I think if I were to get like 4 or 5 hours of fun out of that game, I think that'd be enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be more than happy with that.
Well, as I say, I think that's definitely what you're going to be able to get out of this because, again, demo, hour and a half at least, nowhere near touched the end of it. So, yeah, you're definitely going to get a few hours out of this for sure. And I like the fact that you can basically upgrade your weapons, and there is like health systems built into where you have to collect items to heal yourself, and certain areas are only available through collecting and combining certain items. There's a lot of stuff in there. I'm very excited.
Fair enough. There's two more that I want to mention just quickly, just because I think they deserve to mention. Power World obviously got shown here. Xbox very much trying to treat that as like a first party as possible, even though it's not first party at all. Mm-hmm. 4 new pals being added to the game from what they showed, and some sort of, I called it a gym, probably not a gym, but they're teasing something at the end there. I feel like
I think it's just new structures you can make. I took that out, a new type of base you can make. That might not be the case, and it might be like something like legit, but that's what I took it out because it was all like a different art style from the other stuff they have in the game. Either that or a new like area that you can explore. I take it as one of those personally.
That's one game that I have to get back to by the end of the year. I didn't put nowhere near enough time into that game to like allow it to, and it's better now than it ever was. Mm-hmm. With all the fixes and stuff like that, I'd love to start a new server and just play it again. Definitely something that I want to do.
Something that as well that was kind of teased slightly in this trailer in the showcase, but was kind of also shown in a previous showcase of the Triple I Initiative, was it looks like there's kind of a Colosseum style PvP mode coming as well to it.
Oh, that got shown. Yeah. They showed a whole PvP thing.
It was at the Triple I Initiative sizzle reel, right? It wasn't during the same section, which I thought was kind of weird, but it makes sense if they were showing it for the Triple I Initiative.
Yeah. It's got a name though. What is it? It's got an
actual, it's arena, it's like something, arena,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just arena, yeah. But that'll look really cool. That's for the hardcore players who like give them a reason to like grind to the end game and like level up all of your pals and stuff like that. And then you take them into that kind of thing. For the casual players, like people like us who don't have the time to put all the hour into it, that is probably not for us. But it'd be a fun thing, like maybe, like you say, we both do that, or we all do that and jump in and be like, yeah, our low level pals and see how we survive.
Loser has to eat a Bean Boozle. It's easy.
Nope, I'm out. Loser eats a bean. I'm out. The last game I want to mention, and you guys can definitely mention whatever else afterwards, is Don't Nod's new game. I did not expect to see Don't Nod here at the showcase. Lost Records. Bloom and Rage is their new title. It's kind of probably the reason I like it is we're finally getting games that are based in my childhood. which is like, because obviously like usually we get games that are 80s based, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually like the time that people are gone. It's now people of my age are making games, right? So they're making games from their childhood. Yeah. So this game is obviously based in 1995. I'm so looking forward to playing these type of games and seeing what sort of references are going to be on the walls, posters. Are we going to see Spice Girl references and things like that? Probably not, because it's American, but you know what I mean. Maybe. I know Spice Girls was huge.
Spice Girls was big over here.
Of course. Spice Girls were huge everywhere. But I'm just saying, like, it's cool to have a game that is based in a time frame where I was still a baby. I was only born in 92, but still very, very, very cool. It's based on like a high school friends, Swan, Nora, Autumn and Kat, who are the main characters of this. And then me and Kresh are in agreement of this, and Kresh said it during the live stream, so I'll let it say it again, but we wish it comes out in a certain way, Kresh, right?
Oh yeah, the week to week format that they did with Tell Me Why. I still feel like it's the best format for these type of games because it keeps you engaged and wanting. Like once you get to that end, the cliffhanger that they end the episode on, of like, oh man, I want that next one. I'm excited. I'm going to talk about my friends. I'm going to hit up Fix and be like, what you think about this part? Whatever, whatever. Up until the next week where I sit down when it launches at 9 or whenever the whenever it goes live, you sit down, you play the next episode, and it just repeats that cycle for like 4 or 5 weeks or however long that lasted.
Yeah, I think
we could do that though, just so you're aware.
It's not the same if you aren't officially.
They do face it out though, chapter-ish.
No, no, I get it. I just, it doesn't, it would feel artificial. It doesn't feel like genuine because it's there. I'm going to jump into the next part because I want to know what happens. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's your decision.
It's never as fun when you play the chapter finishes, like, oh, I can't wait to talk to him about that. And then you start the next chapter straight away. And it's just like, oh, here's a recap of the thing you just did 2 minutes ago. It's like,
What you don't get is you don't get that moment where you're like thinking about all the little details and how they connect, what they lead up to when you drop it in one big section, even if it is chapter to chapter. You don't get that sort of I don't get that sort of going over the details, over like, what does this mean, why did they say this that way, why did they use that word particular, etc., etc.
What I will say is I do think it looks like Don't Nod's most beautiful game, lighting and things of that nature, art style. I think they really now, the if you see the imagery for the girls, I think they've really now all of that. And the funny thing is, like, I've never played Life is Strange. Like, Life is Strange wasn't for me. I watched Hayley play Life is Strange. Okay. Did obviously play Tell Me Why. Me and Crash probably made, me, Crash and Laura, Kate Dow probably made our best, well, our, mine and Crash's best content ever by playing Tell Me Why, which I thought was just fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to playing this, but I do think I'm going to play it in the way that you just said that you wouldn't be able to. I do think it's going to be a case of like, play an episode, come back, talk about it on the podcast next week, play an episode. I think that's, it's either that or it's play an episode a day and try and break it down day by day by day and not just blast through it all in one sitting. So I don't actually take any of it in the way that I should. And yeah, man. I'm really looking forward to it. I really hope they nail this because Don't Nod have got one of those. They've got an interesting relationship, right? Like when it comes to certain games, right? They put out Life is Strange 2. Then they did Twin Mirror that wasn't very good. Captain Spirit that people really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Look, they've had like a few different games go out at the moment.
Inconsistent quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're never bad, but they're just never like, some of them don't hit that great level.
They had that climbing game as well, the puzzle climbing game.
Yeah, Jusson, I loved that game. Absolutely adore that game. I definitely recommend it. I think it's still on Game Pass. Definitely play it.
Not sure. But I'm looking forward to this a lot. Mm. Looking forward to this a lot. Anything else you guys want to mention?
I've got to say, for me, Tales of Iron 2 looks interesting. The kind of side-scrolling, play as a rat, beating everyone up, very gory. And then Thera, I think it was pronounced. It looked like, I don't know, it kind of felt like a co-op kind of Breath of the Wild-esque exploration game. You're gliding through floating jellyfish and all that
Monster
kind of
Hunter.
Stuff. Yeah,
that one of those vibes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one I think looked cool, except the way they showed gameplay where they got into the combat. They're like, it's going to be all this aerial stuff and it's based on your movement, and then they skip the combat.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to show you how vertical the combat is, and then you fly up once and then the cut to you walking around again. Yeah, not the greatest trailer to show it, but I think it was still a good showing for me that I'm interested to see more.
I think it was a great showing for its traversal and the world, I think they nailed. But you're right, it was like, let's get on this monster, we're not going to attack the monster. Let's walk up to this monster, we're not going to hit the monster. It's like,
just hit the monster.
See the combat.
I just want to see hit the monster.
We want to see the combat. Like, that's going to be a huge portion of gameplay here, so we need to see that. So what was that called again, sorry?
So that was, I think it's Fera, F-E-R-A. There was a subtitle to it as well, but I can't remember what that was. But that's coming out this year, so I'm excited for that.
Fair enough.
I want to shout out Keylocker, which was the cyberpunky turn-based type game.
Yeah, like to me, that looked like kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics meets cyberpunk.
Yeah,
very much like that isometric top-down turn-based gameplay. But yeah, the art style was very cyberpunk.
Yeah, so I'm very much so looking forward to that. There was also another one, and I think it was Depersonalization.
Mm.
That had like turn-based-ish elements from it as well, if I'm not mistaken. I might be thinking of a different game, and it might not be that game, but there was another game. I'm pretty sure it was that. I like the indie showcase. I like there was a wide variety of like the type of games they showed, which is usually the case in indie showcases, which is always very dope to see.
Yeah, all in all, I think the show, what was shown was great. Like, even it's the same thing we've said it before with they did the partner showcases. Nothing sticks around too long. It's like, if I don't like it, it's fine. I know it's going to be over in 30 seconds to a minute. And there's always going to be something around the corner that I'm going to love. I love the format. I think it was great. I don't know how I felt about it being part of IGN. I don't feel like that added anything. And personally, to me, it felt more like a secondary showcase. When I know it's like, compared to the main AAA titles, most people would say it is, but I just think it felt like that's how Xbox looked at it, because they're not the ones doing it. They gave it over to IGN.
Can I be honest? I know it was an Xbox ID show, game showcase, and it's 100% an Xbox thing. I think having IGN present it just sort of made it feel like not an Xbox thing, if that makes sense. Where it felt like it was just IGN doing another, hey, here's an indie showcase, a random indie showcase.
Yeah.
And sort of it took a little bit away from me, especially like thinking about it after sitting on it, because as I'm watching it, it's kind of fine. But like looking back at it, it doesn't feel like it was Xbox necessarily, which maybe that's what Xbox wanted. They wanted to reach a different market, reach different people that they normally don't with showcase like this, which is 100% fair. And that could 100% be what they were going for.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm torn on it. I was agreeing with you. It didn't hit the way I wanted it to in terms of it being with IGN. That's not IGN's fault. I'm not blaming IGN. But it just didn't hit in the way it should have. I don't know if it was the presenting, I don't know if it was the feeling very separate from Xbox, like you say. I feel like it's one of those ones where it's like, I get that Phil's a busy guy, but I don't want this to feel like an afterthought. Like, if you expect me to then invest my time and energy into it, I don't want to invest. I want Xbox to be a part of it, you know? I want the Phil Spencer, even if it's just at the start. It doesn't have to be big, and I don't want a video call either. I want you in the studio, like you do with the Japan audience and stuff like that. Like, put your time and energy and effort into this, and like do it properly. Is my thing.
I'll be honest. I don't even think it needs to be Phil Spencer at this point. Like Sarah Bond.
Sarah Bond could be
somebody.
There.
Somebody that's Xbox, not IGN, who's a third party, right?
They've got a podcast that they've got branded for Xbox, like. Get them to do it. Get the host from that to do it.
Yeah, no, I do agree. It wasn't bad. Again, I think they should always have those slates off. I feel like should be like, if Xbox are going to even license out these showcases, like I think every showcase should have them slates that they had for one of the showcases. I can't
it's
remember.
The showcase.
Like, where it's like showing what platform it's coming to, if it's Play Anywhere, if it's Game Pass. I think that it just makes it so much easier on the right and goes, okay, I'm interested in that one.
Yeah.
This just, you forget what it is very quickly, which is
especially
a shame.
Something like this when there's so many different varied titles and like not everything's going to grab your attention, but it's like 90% of this are all brand new names as well. This is like, right, which one was which game and what was what game? And did I like that one? I can't remember if that was the co-op one. I can't remember which studio that was. Are they cancelled yet? Very much like, I think consistent branding across all of the showcases is important. And even if it's not exactly the same, like you say, those kind of like mid-showing slates just to say, right, these are the last six games you've just seen. These are the platforms they're going to be on, you know, so we can take our screenshots.
it's hard, right? Because I'm now looking at like the IDEA Xbox channel, right? The IDEA Xbox channel on YouTube. It's like, it's got 33,000 subscribers. You're looking at the trailers, like they've got a couple of thousand views. And then you do look at IGN and it's done quarter of a million views. Each of IGN trailers have done anywhere between 77,000. And so they're from a indie perspective, they much prefer this to be on IGN because they are getting a ridiculous amount of more eyeballs on their product. So can't blame them as a whole. So I mean, the business side of this probably makes perfect sense. I feel like it needs a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a treatment. Like, it's like, this is what an Xbox showcase has to look like in terms of like this and this. You can fill out your weird jokes in between and your transitions like that and how you present it, but like, it needs to have these things.
It needs a brand guideline.
That's what will make it better. That's what it needs,
It needs a brand guideline. So it's like any Xbox showcase, whether it is the partner showcase or an IDEA Xbox, like, has to hit this branding guidelines. It's not just it has to be green and a certain shade of green. Like, you know, have these slates, have this information on screen at certain points, and like, do your jokes, do your IGN side, put your spin on it, that's fine. And like you said, it makes total sense for it to be an IGN over IDEA Xbox because, as you say, like, there's more eyes on that channel and those socials. But the way that they did it this time just took it away from the Xbox side of it for me for too much, that it just felt, not that it is, but it felt like an afterthought in Xbox's eyes, when I'm sure it isn't. It is 100% because, you know, greater market share on IGN side for indies. But
I get you. All right, moving on, boys. We got one more thing to talk about today before we get the hell out of here. Early details for Assassin's Creed Hex have came out. It weren't me that said anything because I didn't know a thing. Planned for a 2026 release. There will be a fear system, a female protagonist with powers, spells to possess a cat, and there's a little bit more. Elsa is seemingly hunted by 16th century German soldiers, and it will be a more linear experience with some open world designs. This was taken from Bloomberg, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember exactly where it's come from. But I've seen this. It's out there a little bit. Take it as a rumor. Take it as a pinch of salt. Everything that's said, none of it's confirmed. But seemingly, we know a little bit now about Codename Hex. You excited for this Assassin's Creed game? Because the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, huh. Assassin's Creed Control sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like spells and things of that nature, do you know what I mean? Like the magical side.
So this very much feels like, so you know those kind of fighting the otherworldly gods are in Valhalla when you're fighting some of the witches and stuff in that, and it feels like they're kind of going to go for that vibe, like the more like horror-esque of it, which, for me personally, give me an Assassin's Creed game and a horror game, stick them together, I'm down. But I get to be the horror antagonist, kind of, maybe? Who knows? I get to strike fear into 16th century German soldiers? Yes. I get to possess a cat? Yes. Linear experience with some open world design? Sure. I'm down for that.
Why not, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited for this if this seemingly ends up being the case, because we've talked about Ubisoft and their open world formula, and they haven't really, like, at one point they were revolutionizing the game space, and like, they defined what open worlds are today. So to see them sort of expanding past that and doing other things and going back into that more creative space, actually, I think is very, very dope to see what they do with a more linear type of game. And then also, we've talked about it on the podcast of like, oh, Gears of War should have horror games and stealth games and all these other stuff, seeing genres expand. Like, hey, here you have this big world with all these different like lore stuff, and you can take these games into different avenues. Seeing Assassin's Creed that happened to Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft go in that direction is, I think, is very dope. Because I think that could also sort of move the rest of the industry in that sort of direction as well with some of their IPs. Of like, your IP could be more than what that one franchise is known for if you do it right and you market it right, which we'll see if that's the case with Assassin's Creed Hex.
Yeah, they got to not go too far away from what Assassin's Creed is as a whole, but they can definitely start trying new things with it, right?
Yeah,
like they know this is going to sell well. Obviously, they've seen the numbers from Mirage, and they've seen numbers from all their other previous titles. Now, I like it. I like it from what we're expecting. I don't know what I'm expecting. Are we going to have sync points? is that something we're going to have? I'd expect so. I would assume so. But I would love an Assassin's Creed just linear game, just straight up linear Assassin's Creed. That would be really cool.
I would hope that some of the open world sections, if they end up having some of those, it ends up being more akin of like a Resident Evil, where you do have these open world hub areas you can go and explore and like sort of connect to different areas, and then you get to the linear area and you're going through a mansion or whatever the case is in this game, and sort of take real like notes from horror games. I think that would be very dope.
Yeah, I think Village is a good shout for that. Like, yeah, having the village area, being the main hub area, and then having like linear points you can go off to and do missions in those is really cool. And I think you guys have talked about it briefly, is like having the ability to kind of like play around within the franchise is what keeps it fresh and new. And if it doesn't hit perfectly, but it still does something new and interesting with it, I'm there for that. What I am interested for, and I think they teased it back when they first announced this game, and obviously Codename Red, and that they were working on new ones, is that they're going to be doing the kind of Call of Duty-esque hub to Assassin's Creed going forwards, where it is going to be basically the Animus system hub, and all the games are going to be within that. So I'm interested to see how this works, of like having Hex has been part of that, and then you can jump into Codename Red, and then you can jump into the next mainline Assassin's Creed. And yeah, just having them build that kind of like seamless experience within that, but then obviously having these new different types of stories that they're going to tell, that's what excites me more.
Fair enough. Bit of news that just dropped as well. You've got some new games coming to Xbox Game Pass. Brothers, the Tales of Two Sons. Don't believe it's the remake. I'm not sure. Can't tell, I'll be honest. Which is going to be cloud, console, and PC. Conan. Brume.
Broom.
Cloud, console, PC, Little Kitty Big City, cloud, console, and PC, and Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, cloud, console, and PC, all being added to Game Pass, just announced. So cool.
Sweet. I'm just looking for this Brothers announcement to see if it is the remake.
I'm pretty sure it would say
remake. It would say Brothers Tales of Two Sons, like right in small letters underneath it says remake.
Yeah, I don't think it's the remake then. Okay. I don't think it's the remake. So, yeah.
Okay.
Moving on, let's do Guess That Game. Whose turn is it? My turn?
Yes.
My turn. Okay, cool. If you don't know what it is, Guess That Game is where the boys ask me yes or no questions. I have to answer them honestly. I will have a Wikipedia page up in front of me to try and give them the best answers possible. They have a minute and a half to get the game correct. The scores currently sit like this. Crash is at 6 points, Matt is at 2 points, D spawns at 4 points, and I am at, what am I at?
3 points.
Thank you very much, brain fart there. Boys, are you ready to guess? Like, let me get the wiki up actually. So otherwise you guys are gonna be really, really upset. Okay. I've got one.
Okay.
I've got one. Let me just get the wiki up. This would be an interesting one. This would be a very interesting one.
To be fair, I struggled with last week because I think it's a game that like 12 people played. That feels disingenuous. Last week was hard.
To me, it was hard.
Yeah. That's a game I've not thought about since it got announced.
I wonder if you'll think the same with this then.
Probably.
Go on. I'm
wearing the same type of bag for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I think this is a fair one to say. All right, you boys, you ready?
Yes. Yep.
Here we go.
First. Who's first? Who's second?
Crash is first.
Okay.
Right, 3, 2, 1, go.
360.
Yes.
Exclusive?
No.
Major 5 publishers.
I would say no.
Okay.
Pause. Give me 5. Give me the 5 that you say is major 5. Go.
So like EA, Ubisoft, Activision, Capcom, and Square Enix. We'll say those 5.
Okay. Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go.
Square Enix.
Yes.
Action Adventure.
Yes.
Single player.
Yes.
Male protagonist?
Yes.
Is this a highly rated game on Metacritic, would you say?
Oh gosh, I
it'll be on the wiki at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Come back to that one.
Yeah.
RPG.
70s, so mid. No, not RPG.
Okay. Is there any multiplayer at all?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Stealth?
No.
Guns?
Yes.
Melee combat?
A little bit, I guess, yes.
First person?
No.
No. Oh. Can you play as a female in it? I know you said it was a male character.
No.
Wow. I had a guess that's gone now.
Yeah. So, to recap, we have a 360.
Yep.
Square Enix.
Yep.
Not exclusive.
Nope.
Action Adventure RPG.
Yep. Nope, I didn't say RPG.
Action Adventure game. That has a male protagonist.
Yep.
And is not first person.
No, third person.
So it is third person.
Yeah, it currently has, and I'll give you this, 75, 74 on Xbox Metacritic. This, the this tile.
Okay.
Ooh. And it was a 360 game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would say, don't get me wrong, Yeah.
Does Wikipedia say it's a 360 game?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But again, it's always hard, right? Because of the series of games. Like, but if you're going off of this first series.
Okay. Well, we do say series generally, but yeah. Yeah, this so specific game. If you get
the series, but yeah, this specific game was the first one that I was looking at. But yeah.
I think I have a guess.
Oh?
I think I have a guess.
I don't.
I gave you more information there.
Mm-hmm.
You did. You didn't need to.
So it's a franchise from Square Enix. Okay. God damn my brain.
That has more than one game.
Mm-hmm. And it's.
You got it, Crash?
I think I got it. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the point.
I have a guess. I don't know if I guess it's correct.
I'm trying to think of a Square Enix game. Because whenever I think Square Enix, all my brain does go Final Fantasy, innit? Final Fantasy. But it's not Final Fantasy.
I guess Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Look, we got to add a limit to how long people think after time.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Then it is Final Fantasy...
No.
Is it Just Cause?
It certainly is, Crash.
Let's go!
Get out. Damn!
Let's go.
What gave it to you? The franchise?
The franchise, yeah. I was like 360 male protagonist shooting, but no melee, not an RPG. Because originally I was thinking first person, Deus Ex Machina was my mind when you said Square Enix. But then you said it wasn't that. And then I was like, oh, it's got to be. And then my mind was like 360 generation. What was big then? Just Cause.
You know what upsets me the most?
Yeah.
Is that Deus has more points than me. He sucks. You can't think of another franchise other than Final Fantasy?
You thought you were thinking of them as a developer. When I asked specifically, it was like as a publisher.
Yeah. See, my brain just like, do you guys not get that when you're like, your brain thinks of one thing and that's the only thing you can think of? Maybe I need to take more of my meds. I don't know. Once my brain, once you said Square Enix, I was like, they do Final Fantasy and then they do Tomb Raider and then they do Final Fantasy, and then they do Tomb Raider. And yeah, my brain's with that. I was like, oh God.
Well, the points are looking like this. Chris has 7, Matt has 2, Despawn has 4, and I have 3. Next week is meant to be Matt.
So it'll be me next week.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. So no points for you next week.
No, that's, I mean, probably. To be fair, no matter whose turn it is next week, I'm not getting points.
That's true.
I don't know how I won last year. I really don't.
No, me either. Me either. Next up, remember you can email them myxboxandmepodcast@gmail.com. We've got a couple of questions before we get the hell out of here. Remember you can also ask us questions in the Discord or hit us up on Twitter at myxboxandme, at MCFixer, at QuestionPlays, at PaulDespawn. The first question is from Ken Dwayle, who says, have you recovered from the beans? Also, congratulations on an enjoyable 12-hour stream. Yeah, we spoke about it at the top of the show, but yes, for people who don't know, we did this Bean Boozle forfeits and a bunch of other forfeits, eat a lemon and spicy food and a bunch of other stuff. The Bean Boozles were flipping awful.
Mm-hmm. Right. You didn't have rotten egg, right?
No, I'll be honest with you, Crash. I probably would have stormed off stream if I had to. If I had to, it would have been a problem.
Mm. It would have been disgusting.
It would have been a problem. It would have been. Yeah, no rotten egg for me, thankfully. I did the dirty socks.
Mm-hmm. Good barf.
Stink bug. The barf one was
horrible.
Horrible. Yeah, and a few others. But yeah, I recovered. To be fair, like I said to Haley, Haley was like, how you feeling? I was like, I feel good, man. Like, doing a 12-hour stream with you guys made it a lot more manageable, easier. I didn't feel like I was, and I wasn't, obviously, the focus of every single thing. Mm-hmm, yeah. The only thing that pissed me off was, I guess, was golf with friends. No, golf with friends. More than that.
Yeah, golf with friends was bullshit.
Yeah, golf with friends was a pain. I feel like that would have been a lot more fun with like a lot of people playing it, because it would have been a lot more destruction and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know what I mean?
That was one of the worst parts, but then the best part when Yami kept knocking Matt out of the way.
Yeah.
That was my favorite bit.
I think where we messed up with the golf with friends is we picked a random map at first. We got one that was super complicated.
Yeah.
And that just put everybody's moods to like, I don't want to play this game's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But thank you very much, Ken Doyle, supporter of the stream. Definitely came through, showing some love. And we do appreciate it. It was also like one of our most viewed streams as well, on average numbers and stuff, like solid numbers. So yeah, man, hopefully we can get more of you guys who would listen to the show involved next time. We did hit a bunch of goals. I think we'll go through all the goals that we hit when Matt's here, because I think Matt has a lot more to say on some of them as well. And I think it'd be nice for us to go through it all together. There's a lot of content coming soon, though, because it's been funded. So looking forward to doing that. Last question comes from TopLift91, who says, do you think this is the year we finally see Fable and Perfect Dark gameplay? And do you expect any hardware announcements? Q2 would be your perfect mic drop moment for the
question two.
Oh, question two. Sorry, my bad. I thought it was a carry on. We'll do the question two afterwards. No. So all of the above from me. I think Fable, I don't think Fable's ready. So I don't think there's any point in showing gameplay and getting people happy, excited, or hyped for that game until that game is ready.
No need to. Because they're not in need for games to show off right now. They have all the Activision stuff. Even if it's like they're not showing anything new for Activision necessarily, an expansion or whatever for a game that already exists, it's enough to pull people eyes on the brand. That I don't think you need to do Fable of like, here's the Fable gameplay in motion. Like, you save that for when you need something to show. And it's like, we need something new, or you're closer to the game to get people hyped for it.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, what I would love to see is they actually drop more gameplay of Fable, and it turns out what we saw last year was actually gameplay.
It wasn't.
No, I know, but it'd be lovely. There was moments where you could see the character running through bookshelves and stuff. And that turns out to actually be the gameplay. That's what the game actually looks like. And it wasn't. But imagine. I'm a dreamer here. I'm wanting the good stuff. That's the good stuff.
I get it. I just...
What about Perfect Dark? No Perfect Dark gameplay.
I mean,
I think we see. I think there's a chance we see Perfect Dark gameplay.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance of Perfect Dark than there is Fable.
I think.
I don't think so.
I think we're like at a 50-50 chance for Perfect Dark.
We can't get Perfect Dark before we get State of Decay. No way.
Yes, we can.
Okay, why not?
Absolutely.
Perfect Dark a couple of times now. We've seen State of Decay like once.
I know, but that breaks my heart.
I know.
Do you know what it is? I just don't care. But Perfect Dark is just not a franchise that I care about in any way, shape, or form. I think Perfect Dark is going to come out and it is going to have been pumped with money and people, it's going to come out and everyone's going to go, yeah, solid 7. And everyone's going to go, oh God, this is a mess from Xbox. It's, I can see that.
But it's Xbox's quadruple A game, isn't it?
Could you play Studio?
My bad. Could you play Studio, not a game?
Could you play Studio bringing out a double A game? It's going to be fine.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried. I hope it's good. I'm just not a Perfect Dark person, but I wasn't a God of War person. So if they can have that sort of effect on me, I would absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust Xbox like that at the moment. Hopefully they change my mind.
Because Xbox used to be the first party shooter, like first person shooter console. Like they were the people who went
not from their own titles.
No, well, Halo was at the time when it launched.
Okay, what else?
Oh my God.
Cool, there you go, I won.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Well, that's all they had. Like, don't get me wrong, it was huge. I'm not saying it wasn't huge, but like, because it had the branding of like every good first-person shooter.
Like, COD was the place Xbox.
COD was the place to play. Mm-hmm. Battlefield was the place to play. Like, it used to be the place, but, gaming's changed now. Like, I think you even see it now with like, I saw Kind of Funny just announced the way they're changing. They're not going to do an Xbox podcast.
Yep, or PlayStation.
Like, their Xbox passes or PlayStation both gone. It's like the way we consume content is so different to how it was once upon a time. It's the same thing with games. Like the way we play games and consume games is just so different. So I don't know.
Yeah. And then the second part of his first question, hardware announcements?
Nope. I think they're going to focus on games.
Too many games to show to make room for hardware. I think hardware announcement, if they're going to do it, Opening Night Live. I think there's a possibility you see it there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Last minute Game Awards.
Game Awards as well.
Too late, so I think next year then. I think they got something dropping this year.
Is it?
I think so. Jeff Keighley summer game show thing. I think there's a possibility you see it there as well. Like, possibly expand the Xbox's market share of like talking about stuff.
Agreed. Q2. What would be your perfect mic drop moment for the showcase? And how many Bean Boozles would you eat to make it happen? 0. I don't care. I'd never do that for free.
No.
If Microsoft wants to do that for me and like give me a mic drop moment, I'm good for it.
My favorite mic drop moment would be, that's a good question.
Shadow Drop Gears?
No, I think mic drop moment would be like they bought Capcom.
That would be the one for you.
Yeah, like if they owned Resident Evil for me, would be like crazy. Like that'd be nuts. That would be the mic drop moment. But I wouldn't. I promise you right now, I wouldn't eat one bean for it.
No.
No.
Not even a guaranteed nice one.
Oh no, no, bro! I am traumatized. You know, Hayden dropped the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found 2 beans on the floor and was like,
I'm not touching them.
I was furious. I was so angry.
Screaming.
I was so angry.
She didn't drop the box, and they went there since Saturday. They just came back out the bin to get you.
Yeah, probably.
They got out on their own.
Probably. It wasn't
sentient beans.
What would be your mind drop moment, though?
It would be a shadow drop of a game. I think, like, again, I don't think we're going to get like that. We'll never get it. We'll never do. Oh, guess what? Gears is out. No. But
I don't think I'd want a shadow drop moment for Gears of War.
I would want to build that hype.
No, that's the thing. I wouldn't want that either, but like that would be a micro moment. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. Shadow drop Everwild.
That wouldn't be a mic drop moment for me. That'd be like, I'm impressed that game exists.
Yeah. I thought that was canceled.
Yeah. I mean, for me,
Killer Instinct. I'm going to say, yeah, there it is.
It's not, you guys say it's a meme. It's not a meme.
It's for this podcast.
When I say it's a meme, I don't mean it's a meme. I mean just like
You want like something that's not for like just the
viewership who we post this on TikTok and everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy keep talking about Killer Instinct?
Because he's got taste.
I'm a man on a goal. And like, I'm a man on a mission. My one mission is make sure the Killer Instinct gets made. So, you know, Killer Instinct. Yeah. I want it. Give it to me. Make it, please.
Honestly, I kind of want it for you. Like, I want them to drop another Killer Instinct.
I don't.
Because he knows he's going to have to play against you.
It ups both of your odds for like prediction showcases every time.
Yeah, just you. Every time
I predict Killer Instinct, it's not gonna like not happen.
Mm-hmm. Am I getting that first this year?
I mean, you didn't want Resident Evil for me, so why should I want?
What do you mean I didn't want Resident Evil for you?
You weren't there going, oh yeah, Fix, I want that for you.
Yeah, but I wasn't like, I don't want Resident Evil to happen.
Yeah, but I'm a hater. Call me Kendrick.
That's a fact. That's a bar. Dope.
Drake got cooked.
For those who don't know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. So that's on you, all right?
I got no response to that. Yeah. I was...
You like that one?
Yeah.
I don't understand the reference myself, but
I know you don't. That's cool.
Just didn't need to.
You did make reference, though. That's all that matters.
That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good for me.
I'll allow it.
You allow it?
I'll allow it.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. My drop moments are so hard nowadays because I'm an adult and I just don't. I don't know.
Also, anything you can predict, I don't think is gonna realistically. Like anything I'd want to be a mic drop moment is so out there that it's not going to happen, right? Like Killer Instinct's not gonna happen, right?
It will one day. It will. Crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, you got Battletoads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that used to be my prediction along with Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
And that came out.
You got to remember, like, these last 12 months have been the resurgence of fighting games. Like Street Fighter, Tekken. Like, I'm pretty sure this horrible named Riot game that's coming.
Oh, 2X KO.
Did you tweet about Sonic about fighting games crash on the 12-hour stream?
He did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can't remember. Let me find it. Oh, much.
Yeah. Actually, so yeah. I was in agreement. I was in agreement with your best friend.
Your best friend.
Me and your best friend get along. We like the same type of game. He was really into arena games. I gave them a shot, and I agree. They're the best type of fighting game. Crash. Me and your best friend. Yeah.
Crash. I don't know who you are.
Go to the response.
Go ahead. Yo, Aaron, that's disrespectful, bro. I'm going to say your name on the podcast. That's disrespectful. Don't do my boy like that ever again. All right, ever again. Don't do him like that ever again. But Crash's tweet was, so I've been wrong this entire time. Arena fighting games are the best type of fighting games. Add anime into the mix and you have a 10 out of 10 game every time. By the way, Naruto Storm Connections is better than Tekken 8, Street Fighter 6, and Killer Instinct.
Damn. Yeah, this fact. I tweeted it. It's true.
Must be true.
If you tweeted it, it must be true. And
tell me about your best friend.
What did I tweet? I just want to take the time out of my day to tell you all that Angor 06 is my best friend. He's truly a real one. I've been holding in these feelings way too long, but I finally have to admit, I might love him more than at the Haley Show 21, but it may be too close to call.
Damn.
That's a lot of love you got for him.
That's some friendship right there.
Best friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounded painful for you to say.
All right, let's plug and get ourselves out of here. Crash, what you got to plug this week?
My Xbox Me on podcast services. Apple Podcasts, review it. We haven't had a review in America, at least, since December. So if you're in America and you haven't reviewed the land podcast on Apple services, land of the free, you're free. Not really free because we're forcing you. Go and leave a podcast review, please.
Land of the free, everyone. Land of the free. We have no new ones. We haven't had a new one over here in the UK. Also, land of the free since January 21st. Remember, you can review us on Apple Podcast services and Spotify, but Apple Podcasts is more important and we read those more. 5-star, even if you think the show's only a 3-star, you know, give us 5 stars, give us your grievances, give us your honest opinions of the show. Yeah, we'd absolutely love it. So keep being amazing. Peace, Bond, what are you going to plug?
I'm going to plug the 12 hour. Oh, wait, we're not doing that anymore, are we?
No, it's done. It's done.
I'm going to plug the Twitch and the YouTube / my Xbox and me, where me and Fix and maybe Crash are definitely going to stream this week.
I am.
Interesting.
Interesting. Cool.
That's
cool.
Interesting.
Bro, we can literally dual stream Gray's Warzone 0, blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
We can do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you.
Who's you?
Okay, I tried. You know who I'm talking to. Yeah, I'm gonna be live. I'll be playing Yakuza Like a Dragon. I am very, very, very close to the end. Probably got between 10 to 15 hours left in that game after today. Loving it. I said it on the reaction stream. I think it might be my... It's definitely in my top 5 RPG, turn-based RPGs of all time. So, yeah. It is very, very, very good. Very emotional. Some of the best writing in a video game I've played in a long, long time. So looking forward to finishing that. So yeah, I'll be streaming that over on the My Xbox and Me channel tomorrow as of we record this, which will be Wednesday. It's already gone by the time this is out. If you're not watching on Patreon, sorry. But you catch me every Wednesday. So see me there. All right, boys. Until next time, we'll love you. Leave ya. See you later. Keep being amazing. Good boys.